Welcome everyone back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I am joined this beautiful Friday morning by Tracy Pearson. Tracy, how are you?
I'm really good, Dave. How are you? You do sound good.
I sound great. Got a good night's sleep. Good. Slept about 9 hours last night. It was amazing.
You don't use any enhancement to sleep. You actually can sleep right through 9 hours.
I sometimes have to fight myself. You know, you do the if you go to sleep too early, because like right, I went to sleep last night at like 8:30, and then
did you go to the early bird special for dinner?
No, dude. It just like it's so weird. Like, because typical parent, right? You try to stay up past your kid's bedtime because that's the only free time you ever get.
The entertainment I'm going to get today. This is
but instead I just go to sleep right at the same time. And then like I'll wake up at like 1:30 in the morning and I'm like, oh no, I'm not doing this. And then I'll just force myself to go back to sleep. And I'm still at the age where I can do that.
That's what I was going to say. How do you force yourself to go to sleep?
I can still do it. I know it's going to wane, and I know it already has waned in some ways. Like it is, even if I stay up really late, like on a Friday night or whatever, I still wake up at, 6:30 or 7 in the morning. Like, I can't sleep past that no matter what.
Right. Yeah. It gets worse.
Yeah.
And that's why I was, you will start to have to enhance your ability to sleep.
I'm not a big performance enhancer, Tracy.
I've never been either. I've never been that kind of guy, needs any kind of, medicinal influence to help me perform, Dave. But sleep, I've started to, and I won't go like, what's the stuff where you hallucinate?
There's a lot of things where you hallucinate.
Well, the one that everyone says they, God, why am I? I could have jumped off on that so easy. So many words. Anyway, what I have found is Unisom or like Tylenol PM. Yeah. Wow. Those things, that works. It's really great. So if you want to go a little mild, you don't want to, hit yourself with Ambien, the Ambien thing, and you're hallucinating at night, just try Unisom. Everyone, I'm telling you. And I am getting kickbacks from Unisom for promoting their product. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're going to go super mild, you can go with the melatonin.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
Wow. Haters gonna hate.
What's that?
Haters gonna hate. On the
have you tried it?
No. I don't have to performance enhance my sleeping.
You should be ready though. You're gonna need something to pivot to very quickly.
Okay. Life is exhausting enough.
Okay. It's not falling asleep is the problem.
No, it's the
staying asleep is the problem.
All right, that'll be our title for this Brocast. Staying asleep is the problem.
We just put everyone asleep.
Yes,
so
we sure
maybe
did.
Just listen to the first 5 minutes of this Brocast every night. Or there when you wake up at night, listen to this, you'll go right back.
The cure for insomnia. All right, well, we have a lot to talk about today, Tracy. We are going to dive into some UCLA basketball news and recruiting stuff. Roster management, all that fun stuff. And then we are also going to talk a little bit about UCLA wrapping up spring ball, but we've kind of, we've flogged that horse to death.
I was going
to
say, there's a horse right here. We are beating it.
But that horse is dead. We are now just kind of flaying it, but not like flaying it in like a really like, clinical way, but we're just hitting it even harder until the hide comes off.
Hmm. I was picturing like a nice little slice with the, some little side.
No. It's not clinical. It's saying the same things over and over again and just hitting it with a bat over and over until the hide
falls off.
People
love it. They love to see us hit things with bats.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But we're also going to talk about some football recruiting stuff and some interesting curiosities. But let's start with basketball. Tracy, I want to start with a little bit of news that I don't think we necessarily wanted to make front page because it's basically Cody Riley's private Instagram. But on Cody Riley's Instagram, which enough people follow that it was posted on our board, he referred to himself as a former UCLA starting forward for the
There are many ways to interpret that. If we're just going by the strict letter, it could be that he is decided he's not a forward anymore.
Ooh, okay.
He is not starting anymore.
Yes. He's entering the transfer portal.
Or he's entering the transfer portal. Or he is leaving UCLA. Or he's left, because you'd say former. So he's left UCLA.
Correct.
So, you know, we're just bringing up the different options that you could take from that, right, the interpretation.
Now, the obvious one, the Occam's razor, is that Cody Riley, as we have long suspected, is moving on from playing UCLA basketball. So that kind of, you know, shakes out the way we were expecting for the roster going into the 2022-2023 season. Cody, sad to see him go. The all-time reigning groundbound king for UCLA basketball.
I was still on the fence whether I would have liked to see him return. I know you were saying, we've had enough of Cody. You like Cody, but enough of Cody. I still was holding out slight little bit of hope that with a good offseason, getting healthy, he could have returned to his former version of himself, the one that we saw the year before. And that would have, and if he would have been able to just be, I mean, this is just pie in the sky. If he would have been happy with playing 16, 17 minutes a game, something like that, maybe. But those are a lot of big ifs, right?
Yeah, totally big ifs.
You didn't think that could happen, correct?
No, none of the above. I think the ideal scenario was Miles Johnson coming back for a similar role. Cody, I mean, and it makes sense. He's been a sometime and more often than not starter for, 3 years now? It would have been a hard thing for him to take on a role that's much less, and it would have been a hard thing for Mick Cronin to dictate that to him. Like, I mean, Cronin, for everything else about him, he's a loyal guy, and I think he's going to play the guys who have got him to the point where he is, as we saw last year. And so it would have been a hard thing, and I think we would both agree that the optimization of next year's roster does not involve 25 minutes of Cody Riley per game.
I would say that, yes. So, the roster and the rotation would be great with what I said, 16 minutes of him, but that's impossible.
Yeah. So it looks like he's moving on, and obviously great Bruin. Ton of fun to watch, and played a huge role in that Final Four run and the resurgence of the program. So, good on you, Cody.
So that leaves the post with three guys. Mac Etienne, who will be returning from his ACL tear. Kenneth Nwuba, longtime veteran, and then incoming freshman Adem Bona. It will, first off, let's give a little plug out to our friend Ben Bulch. Wrote a good article about some of this very subject matter, and dropped some tidbits in there too, that Mac Etienne and Will McClendon are like, I'm going to say it. I had said it before. I said it in this broadcast, that they were recovering well and were ahead of schedule for their recoveries from their ACL injuries. I would say Ben Bolts just confirmed that in his recent story. So you're going to look at not probably, but Mac Etienne and Adem Bona taking up those 40 minutes in the post.
Actually, I just spent the last few minutes thinking about
because that's going to be the funniest thing I heard all day.
This is what my mind does.
You can't redo that. You cannot reproduce that.
I can't do it again. All I spent ever since you said Ben Bulch, all I was doing was, wow, his name doesn't do the spoonerism very well. And then I was like, wait, Bone Belch.
Yeah.
Bone Belch.
Should we call him? Should we call him Bone Belch? For now?
Bone Belch is like a. That's like a call sign. That's like a gang name.
You know, I think Ben. I don't think Ben would appreciate it for.
You don't think he'd like Bone Belch?
No, because people would just start calling him Boner and say it's not good, and then he gets his name abused. Like people can't get Belch. They call him. It comes out in so many different ways.
Yeah, well, it's so weird because blotch. I mean the it's UCLA the UCLA chancellor is also a Belch, right? So it's so weird. See what I did there?
Yeah, you like I saw that. What you did?
Yeah,
I think they're related.
Yes, they must be related.
They should go on
because they have such similar last names.
They're yeah. like they got the same great grandfather.
All right, so Bone Belch reported some stuff. Center,
damn, he's coming
about,
after you for that. Idea.
I don't think so. I think Ben's gonna love it.
Ben, go after
good
you.
Old Bone.
Oh wow.
All right, so at center it's gonna be Adem Bona. I'm gonna call him Adem Bona. I swear to God, I'm gonna do it every time.
I don't know what's so hard. You're the one that always does the oh
God, I don't know. I don't
it's Adem Bona, so you're going contrary on your contrary pronunciation.
I know. I'm gonna implode. My brain is gonna implode. Adem Bona.
Implode? And, is that what
yes,
you're gonna do?
Exactly. Mac Etienne, man in the center position. So that'll be fun. Two new guys. If you know, there's a lot of upside there, but there's also a potential. I mean, we should acknowledge it. Potential that position actually performs worse than the last couple of years, because when you have high upside but a lot of unknowns, there can be a downside.
I don't know why every way you're saying something this morning is making me laugh. No, you're right, because there's a lot of unknown and uncertainty here. You have no idea how this could be. Our last glimpse of Etienne was 2 years ago when he was really a high school senior.
Yeah, and he looked, you know, he gave us some light Joakim Noah vibes that might have been entirely the hair. But you know, looked okay. Looked about as good as you can look as a high school senior playing college basketball.
Yeah. And I think Adem Bona is going to be, we talked about him last week. I think he's going to be very good. Yeah. I think he's going to be essentially provide the role that Miles Johnson did provide, but even, and he'll make some mistakes. He'll miss some, like we said, he'll miss some help where he's got to, you know, move over and block a shot. He'll miss some of that, but he's going to be, they're going to be able to switch defensively because he's so quick. He's going to be able to get out on a break like a wing. And he'll provide a little bit more offense, being able to finish around the basket. So I'm looking at it that he'll be able to do essentially what Miles Johnson did. And then Mac Etienne is going to probably, maybe not this coming year, but he has the potential to be probably one of the best offensive centers that we've seen at UCLA in a while. And I think we will see a lot of that this year. I think we're going to think this is a win, that this is good. And we will look back and say, yeah, this is so much better than if we even had Cody Riley 16 minutes. So right. I'm kind of optimistic about
this.
I
am too.
Yeah.
All right. But because we are who we are and we do what we do, screw next season. We want to talk about the season after it.
We do. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So let me set the stage first.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. For 2023-2024, there is, I would say, a reasonable to good chance that UCLA has something on the order of like minimum of 6 and possibly as many as 8 scholarships to give.
I mean, yes, if you look at it, I completely uncertain, but you can look at it. Tiger Campbell would be coming back for his
sixth year.
So
Jules Bernard is gone.
David Singleton is gone. Amari Bailey would be returning for his second year. I'd give that probably
A 4% chance.
No, I give that about, I was going to put it at about a 40% chance.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
And there are reasons why. He might not be 100%. Well, I don't even want to get into it. I really don't, Dave. Don't force me.
I'm not forcing you. Then you walked into that yourself.
Jalen, Will McClendon, we'd assume he'll be back, right?
Yes.
Dylan Andrews, I'm doing the backcourt right now. So correct. Let's just say for sure, guys, Dylan Andrews, Will McClendon.
Correct.
That's two. Jalen Clark?
I would put him at more likely than not he'll return, just because if you look at his role for next year and also the level to which certain parts of his game need to advance, I don't know that he's going to be a pro prospect after next year, like beyond like a second round thing. And I don't think he'll be making that decision with what's available to him the following year in terms of playing time and role.
Okay.
So I'd put him as more likely than not returning for his senior year.
That's three. Jaime Jaquez, come back. Come on, Jaime.
So, okay, dude, but this is what I wanted to get
super
into.
Senior year.
This is what I wanted to get into before we got into the recruiting part of this, because look, all right, big moneyed people who are in the UCLA community. If you're looking at this roster, so right now, just to finish it out, Dylan Andrews, Will McClendon, Jalen Clark, probably Mac Etienne, Kenny Nwuba, and then we'll see what Bona does. If he's really, really good this year and he looks like he does, he could go.
Yeah.
But let's just say those are the five definites. Wait, is Kenny Nwuba, he'd be done after that year, right?
He's a redshirt senior coming up, so he'd have a super senior year.
Okay, all right. So he would be able to stay, but that's five scholarship guys potentially as like more or less definite returners. You can't fill that roster out with just freshmen, so there has to be some element of transfer portal. But if you were paying attention to the transfer portal this year, there actually wasn't a lot of great in there. Getting somehow some money together to keep Jaime Jaquez and Tiger Campbell in the fold for that super senior year for both of them in 2023-2024 would go a long way for program continuity.
Would they be just, if they came back for their mm-hmm. super senior year, you know that wooden statue that's out in front of yeah. Pauley? Not that you should take that down. It should always, but you
like
should have
a
Jaquez and Campbell, you know, with them with their arms around each other, standing right next to, like, right next to John Wood.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I'm like kind of kidding, but kind of not.
I'm not kidding.
They're gonna have some continuity potential problems because it's gonna be one guy essentially who we know right now will have played significant minutes, and that's Jalen Clark.
This is what I'm thinking. No matter what, okay, since Mick Cronin has been here, through no, you know, it wasn't almost really wasn't even up to him. Well, it was, I mean, to keep all these guys. But these guys just stayed. He had a roster. He's had a roster for 3 years, 4 years. Pretty much hasn't had very much turnover, which is great. Aren't we all kind of looking forward to like new guys in the UCLA uniform event? I'm looking forward to 2023. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see what transfers they get. What's the mix between guys who were the three guys that returned and what incoming recruits? I'm looking next year, really looking forward to it. 2023, just as much, just to see this whole new team.
I would watch Jaime play basketball in a UCLA uniform until he was a literal old man.
Absolutely. And that would be fun if somehow they could get that. I mean, we saw him play as an old man last year.
Right, no, but I would watch him play as like a 46-year-old in a UCLA uniform.
Hey, let's talk about that too. Because we know some things. Jaime Jaquez had off-season surgery on his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Where the reports are that it was either he shut it down, like he could not jump last season for a long period of time. He needed surgery. He waited till the end of the season. He played through it. He's now had the surgery. It's expected that plenty of time for him to recover by next year. So everyone, had to be thinking about that. And, all our cyber sleuths saw him in his video where he announced he's coming. He was slight limp, if you saw that. So, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Yeah, it's because I think he was just coming off his recent surgery. So that's all very, very encouraging. I don't think he will come back for his super senior year, Dave.
So here's the thing. Okay, what kind of prospect does Jaime Hawkins? End of first round at his like peak, right?
Yes.
All right, so how much do those guys make?
You tell me. Meaning first contract?
Yeah, so, all right, let's look. Hang on, I'm pulling it up.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to make me go to a paywall? Lexington Herald Ledger?
Oh, yeah, Lexington Herald always is like that.
Always like that.
I'm never buying a subscription to Lexington Herald.
So you got
to
come up with $2 million.
Okay.
So, like, come on. Casey Wasserman, you don't have $2 million lying around.
Well, I can say this. Everyone's always asking me about UCLA's NIL. I would say the NIL collective for basketball is in a good spot. The program is working within the NCAA rules in a very positive way with an NIL collective, which is supportive of the basketball program. I think we might be seeing down the line something, an NIL deal where probably everyone on the team gets a certain amount, every scholarship player gets a certain amount, and then beyond that, the stars, have their individual deals. And I don't know if we'd get to even Jaime Hawkins getting to $2 million, but I'm not saying this is happening right now or it has happened, but I could see Jaime maybe getting by, if he decided to stay for 2023, I could maybe see him getting to $1 million.
Yeah. So get him that money force Chip Kelly to offer his brother see if he wants to stay in school with all of his siblings.
I mean, is it favoritism towards his sister? I just want to be at UCLA. What about your little brother there, Jaime? Don't you want to spend a year with him at UCLA?
Correct.
I mean, if...
Honestly, I want him to show equal and fair appreciation for both of his siblings.
Yes, exactly.
Is that so wrong?
You know where this whole thing gets tripped up?
What?
Well, where it really gets tripped up is Chip Kelly's not going to offer anyone.
you flog Chip Kelly to offer the youngest Hawkins.
Well, maybe there's a chance that Chip Kelly does really well, wins 10, 11 games. Now, this is just, we're really excited.
And then
this.
Ken Norton offers Hawkins as
there
the
we go.
Yeah. Oh, God. I wish
oh, wait, we just
about
let
basketball
that out
recruiting
the,
because
just,
that's a great transition.
I know.
All right. Well, we got to do basketball recruiting first.
We'll use that exact transition later.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, my pie in the sky hopes that you get fifth years of playing from both Jaime and Tiger. Notwithstanding, there's going to be a lot of scholarships to give in the 2023 class. UCLA missed out on Dusty Stromer last
who?
Week. Yeah. Who? That was something we more or less previewed on the broadcast because we recorded on the same day that was happening and we had heard some.
Did I give that away?
Yes, we obviously gave it away. We started off the discussion with, it's not so big deal if they lose them. It's not great, but it's not so bad.
that is such a giveaway. It's so bad. Yeah. I mean, why would we be doing? Why would okay. Yeah, why would we say that?
Unless all right, so a couple things coming up just shortly. Isaiah Collier and Ron Holland, they're both going to be in for official visits next weekend, which we did report, Tracy. We did report that.
You get screwed up sometimes knowing
yeah,
what's
no,
happened.
Yeah, I know. I get screwed up.
You're in some weird time There's a Twilight Zone.
Well, how many
going
times have I sent
brain?
You a tweet and said, "Hey, put this up on the board," and then I'm like, and then you're
no,
like,
"No, I didn't."
And then you're like, "Wait, we already did that." And then I'm like, "Oh gosh, you know, dopey me."
Yeah.
so anyway, Isaiah Collier, point guard, and Ron Holland.
Forgetting things, going to sleep at 8 o'clock, going to early bird dinners. Dave,
I'm becoming old before my time.
Not able to sleep.
Oh, boy. All right, but there's a lot of scholarships to give. I mean, it's going to be at minimum a 6-person class, potentially more. And obviously, you're going to want to balance it because you don't want to end up with this situation again in a few years where you have a bunch of guys leaving at once. So there'll need to be some element of transfer, I would guess, to the entire exchange. And also,
I don't think you should guess at that.
Yeah,
that's pretty certain.
And also, it's the one kind of year where a one and done doesn't really hurt you because you need the class balance.
Okay. Well, let's first think about it. You'll have Dylan Andrews. So you have a point guard. That's a good thing. Point guards are hard to find.
We love point guards.
Really, that there are so few. If I just went back in Dave's time traveling brain and I went back 10 years ago, there were so many more point guard recruits out there than there are now. People don't want to be point guards anymore.
Yeah, and God love them. You never want to end up in the Zeke Jones era ever again.
Who? And then, and I'd say in the post, they'll probably be, I would suspect Mac Etienne will come back for his, that would be his redshirt junior year.
Explain to me his eligibility, because the first year didn't count, did it?
It does. I mean, overall, the big picture is it doesn't, because that's the way they were considering. It's a free year, but it did count for him. And then he'll get it back on the back end. That's how it works. That's how this whole super seeder thing works. There's no special thing because he came out of high school. He just was benefiting from the COVID super senior year that was granted anyone who played in 2020. So he gets that. Well, when did he come in?
He came in halfway through 2020-2021.
Okay.
Yeah. Played
so
in 13 games.
I should say 2020-2021 season.
So that season doesn't count for anyone.
Doesn't, but the way it
then
does.
Then he redshirted this past year.
Yeah.
So if he plays next year, they can call him anything.
He's a redshirt sophomore this year coming up, right?
But they could call him a redshirt freshman if they want.
But you could call him a redshirt freshman. But if you're going to do that, that just screws up everything.
I've run into it with because I think UCLA, the website, is doing something different from what the website is doing.
Yeah.
And so when I'm writing, like, whether this guy can still play football next year, I am confusing myself a lot of times.
Okay, so the thing to do is an the football depth chart that I have, that's what they currently are right now. But if they played in the 2020 season, they have an added year. So like Mac Etienne will be a redshirt sophomore in this coming year, that season, 2022, 2023. But he'll have 4 years of eligibility. Redshirt sophomore, redshirt junior, redshirt senior, and then a super senior year. Remember last offseason when we were interviewing Tiger Campbell, and someone said, "So you got a couple more years of eligibility," and he almost indignantly goes, "I've got 3 years." Because
let's just number the years, because I think what's screwing me up is calling them things. Like, they don't need names anymore. We don't call them freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. They're just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and potentially 6.
Maybe that would work. I mean, why it's good that we keep him, like Mac Etienne, I'm going to call a redshirt sophomore this coming year, because it shows what he's done and how much experience he's had in the program. And he might not stay for his super senior year, but it is certain what he has done previously.
You know what? I'm going to start instituting this, Tracy, on our website.
No.
We're going to do fractions. Okay. So what we're going to do is Mac Etienne, next year, he's a 3 out of 6.
Okay, so when you list a guy, you're going to say 3 out of 6.
3 out of 6.
Okay, so you're going to go into
and
that Jaime depth
chart. Will be a,
and
Jaime will be a 4 out of 5. Okay. Tiger Campbell will be a 5 out of 6.
So like a 5/6.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm behind you, Dave. You do
Okay.
what you need to do for you.
No, it's not for me, it's for the people. I am David Woods for the people.
This is really easy right now. We're listing what they are right now. If they played in the 2020 season, just add a year of
No,
eligibility.
homie. No, 5 out of 6. All right. So,
Okay.
recruiting, Tracy.
Okay, so that's we'd have to think, and Dembona could come back for his second year. So point guard post, not bad. They're not wide open where you need guys. At your wing guard position, you'd have Will McClendon. You'd assume he's going to come back. We're going to say that Jalen Clark
Comes
more than
back.
likely comes back. Those are the guys. So you need a bucket full of wings.
Yes, I
Okay.
liked it.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. I've used it too much. I've written this so many times, and I keep repeating this because this is how coaches think. All wings are interchangeable. We in today's college basketball, you just throw them all out there. You can mix and match, great. But there are different subsets of wings. There are obviously guys who are more like a guard, or they are wing guard. Jules Bernard is more like a guard. He's
Right.
not more like he's
They
not really a small forward. He's not
have less
even.
meat on the bone.
Yes, exactly. And then there are what we've been calling wing forwards, which is more of the traditional power forward. But now in college basketball, you don't see too many traditional power forwards anymore. Most of these guys are 6'8". They don't have a power forward's body. They're long and lanky. They're like 200 to 210 pounds. And they like to face the basket offensively and shoot. And a lot of them are good at it. A lot of them aren't. But they match up defensively against the other team's bigger forward or bigger wing. So there are subsets. The wing guard and the wing position are really interchangeable. And if you have a really athletic power forward, wing forward, he's interchangeable too. But getting that good wing forward, power forward kind of guy is really key because while you have a guy, like I said, who can play that position, who could dip down and guard other wings, smaller wings can't play this position because it's hard for them to guard bigger guys. Jaime Jaquez is spoiling everyone, in my opinion, because he can guard. How many times during the course of his season, his career at UCLA, has he guarded guys that are bigger than he is?
Yeah.
Most of the time, you'd say. He's
Yeah.
always trying to body up, and it looks like the guy outweighs him by a good 15 to 20 pounds and has a couple inches on him. And he's done very, very well. There's been, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm not going to give you a hint. Who was the guy, I'd say, in the last few weeks of the season that Jaime Jaquez did not defend very well?
In the last few weeks of the season?
Okay, let's just say that, yeah, I was trying to give you a hint.
I mean, I don't know. Who are we talking about?
If you remember,
I don't remember anything, Tracy. I'm a
UCLA's, oh,
parent of
that's
young
true.
children.
The NCAA tournament.
Correct.
Do you remember who they played?
In the final game?
No.
The guy from Akron?
The dude spinning on him and just like, he was so athletic. It was crazy. Remember, he got, but Jaime got put in the spin cycle.
True. So that's a game. I'm just going to tell everyone through my psychological processes. That's a game that I have almost entirely wiped out of my memory.
Why is that?
I don't know. It was just such a miserable game to watch.
Really?
I had almost wiped that out of my memory by the next game because it was so miserable and they looked like they were going to lose.
I would say too, you usually remember. I mean, you are no Brandon Huffman, but you remember a lot.
I remember like facts and things, But like visual memory, like memory of having watched a thing, no. No, no, no. Huh. Like if you asked me to remember a specific football game from last year, like I had to look up the UCLA USC score and I'm like 62-33. Wow, huh? What happened in that game? I don't remember that at all.
Is this whole podcast the theme of, I mean, we're not making this up, but we just keep coming back to it, of you really aging and maybe prematurely?
Maybe, maybe. It's a very real chance. Very real chance. Fragmented thinking.
Oh, gosh. So that is a key position to recruit. UCLA is going after some guys who would easily fulfill that role at UCLA in the 2023 class. The guys they're going after, I really like. Ron Holland is kind of a combo forward. He could definitely play that position. He could guard bigger forwards. He's extremely athletic. He might be able to eventually guard post players. He's quick. He'll be able to guard wings. He sounds like he's superhuman. The only thing that's limiting him right now is his face-up offensive game. Thank God, or he'd be a one and done. I mean, he's very athletic for his size, and he's very instinctual, plays hard, loves physical contact. So he's the guy who they've really been going after hard. There's another guy, Justin Edwards, who's a five-star guy, had shown some mutual interest in, and then they offered him recently, last week. I think it's a long shot because he's had a lot of big-time programs after him, Kentucky and Kansas. He's that guy too, 6'7 to 6'8, more skilled offensively than Ron Holland. Can really put on the floor, can shoot, but could guard anyone. I mean, these are both potential pros. My secret favorite, though, is Milan Momcilovic. Are we going to say Mom? I don't know if it's Momcilovic or Momcilovic. Dave?
Momcilovic?
Oh, God. You had to do it. You had to do it. You were so nonconformist. A pronunciation nonconformist.
I'm just saying there are options here. I've heard that as a hard C before.
I have described him as a Jaime Jaquez, but 2 inches taller. And it's very, he's got that back to the basket game, really crafty. Oh, you know, Jaime Jaquez, 2 inches taller, but can shoot threes. He's probably a better 3-point shooter than Jaime Jaquez is right now. I'd like to see them in a game of horse. Really like him.
He's got similar hair potential, it looks like, too.
He does. He does. He should just, as soon as he can, grow in the Zorro mustache and that whole thing. UCLA's strong with him. He's from, oh, this is right. I remember you insulted everyone from small towns in Wisconsin. He's from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. We'll like, see.
Isn't that just like a made up name from like Bluey? Like, what are we doing here? Pewaukee.
I always thought it was like some kind of sub, oh, obviously a suburb, but something that was just a derivative of Milwaukee and it became Pewaukee.
I mean, I'm probably being like extremely anti-Native American right now, but yeah, it's a suburb of Milwaukee.
Okay. We'll see how they do with him. It'll be very interesting to see, you know, what stands out to you? Marquette, Wisconsin, Xavier, or UCLA?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, you can be just like a Midwest king for the rest of your life, Milan, but come on.
I mean, Milan.
You know where the game's at.
Milan, you hearing this? That's water. That's beach, Milan.
Yo, I mean, he's close to the water. It's the frigid Lake Michigan where you can, I think that's the one where, is that where the Edmund Fitzgerald went down, or was that Superior?
Yeah, that's your desk, honey. That's all you. I would love to know without using the internet. How many of our listeners know that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, some of them, if they're big Gordon Lightfoot guys. Yeah, yeah, but you can come to L.A. You can be near an ocean. Come on.
There you go.
You got more water over here.
And then there are all the other wings. They offered, I want your counter pronunciation of Andre's last name.
Well, I know that one
I
because
know, but that doesn't matter. That's never stopped you before.
I would just, I mean, I think it's a simple Stojakovic. Now, it could be,
Stojakovic.
I guess you could, I mean, so
Stojakovic?
Stojakovic.
Stojakovic. Yeah, you like the hardened things. They offered him a couple after the second evaluation period. I like him. He's a 3 to 4 year kind of guy, multi-year guy. Very skilled. What I was skeptical about him until I really watched him extensively, because I didn't. To me, the what UCLA should want and prioritize are wings who have quick feet and can guard any other wing. And I was skeptical about him, about his lateral athleticism. But then after watching him, it was actually a game where he shot. He was horrible offensively, and then he defended a few guys who looked quicker than he was, and he moved his feet and stayed in front of them, and that kind of. So he had a bad game, and I came away with it saying, "Oh, okay, now I'm convinced." That's called evaluation, guys. So there's that person. There is, God, whatever happened to Mike Williams? Jacoby Walter. He is from McKinney, Texas. He's a high scoring, more of a wing guard. They've offered him. They're trying with him. And then there's a guy on the West Coast who I like, Cody Williams, 6'7", maybe pushing 6'8", small forward. Plays point guard for his high school. Plays point guard for his AU team. Really good with the ball. Has a nice stroke. Can put it on the floor. Here's a encouraging sign. His brother is Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, who put his name in the NBA draft. And you could see Cody was bigger, is bigger and better than his brother was at the same stage. So there's a few other guys. I won't laundry list them all, but they are going to be going after a lot of wings. I gotta mention my guy. Of course, at guard, there is Isaiah Collier, who is, we've talked about him, a fantastic prospect, a future pro, in my opinion, as an NBA point guard. But after him is BJ Davis, a kid from Modesto Christian that they have not offered. They haven't offered Cody Williams, also, by the way. Really like him. He is a Cronin type of guy, 6'1 point guard. He's kind of a little narrow, kind of linear, but athletic, can really move his feet well, can defend just about anyone, any kind of guard. Really like him offensively, can shoot from the outside, loves to create for his teammates, and just really, really tough, and a tough defender. They haven't offered him. I wouldn't mind seeing them offering him, even while they're still trying with Isaiah Collier. Dave and I have talked about this a little, about the positives and the what is it, Dave? What would you, is there any downside to offering BJ Davis?
I can't imagine it is because I don't think Isaiah Collier is getting scared off by BJ Davis.
Right.
And you're potentially getting in a development guy who, again, maybe I'm an obsessive about this, but class balance is an issue. Get Collier and BJ Davis. BJ Davis, you play him whatever you play him, 5 minutes a game, 10 minutes a game his first year. Collier's, potential one or two and done. And then you've got a guy who's in your guard rotation for the next 4 years, 5 years.
Maybe there's something to do with Dylan Andrews. Possibly they, coming from Compton Magic, and they don't want to like overload the point guard spot for him. I know everyone's just rolling their eyes right now, but these are the things coaches think about and have to think about in recruiting. But all in all,
pitch like flexibility. I mean, it's not too long ago that Villanova was running with basically 3 point guards.
Yeah.
You know, pitch that you guys can play alongside each other.
Especially because they're like he and Dylan Andrews is 6'2 to 6'3, BJ Davis 6'1 at least.
Yeah.
So they could match up with almost any backcourt, I think. Yeah. So, and he's not going to get scared away by Isaiah. I mean, the real trip up here is, would he even consider UCLA right now while they're going after Isaiah Collier? Maybe he would, because UCLA would be his biggest offer at this point. Maybe it's a guy who would just jump on, knowing that they could still get Isaiah Collier. So there's our argument out there in the internet stratosphere. There is a big recruiting weekend coming up. Next weekend, there is Ron Holland officially visiting and Isaiah Collier. It's interesting if you read the tea leaves of both of those guys. This is really not based on any information, just tea leaves. Social media tea leaves. You would say, I feel like I'm flying. You would say UCLA is doing pretty well with both of those guys. Wouldn't you?
I would.
Because, I mean, they're very active when it comes to all things UCLA on their social media pages. I think that's a good way of putting it. They are going to be in town together. It would be very... I don't see UCLA getting any verbal commitments because those are two guys that are really going to look at all their options. It would be fantastic if they did. A lot of people have brought up, and I think it's a good idea, UCLA has been recruiting but has not offered Isaiah Collier's AAU and high school teammate, Aridin Page. He's a 6'9 post player. I like him too. He's a multi-year guy, developmental guy, big physical kid. He's 6'8 to 6'9, probably 225 pounds, athletic, not overly so, but not grounded, completely grounded, moves his feet really well, and a guy who's going to be in your program for at least 3 years. I know Indiana's all over him. I would be absolutely fine with UCLA offering him and also bringing him in an official visit next weekend to bond, to do his UCLA bonding with his teammate Isaiah Collier. I don't think that's going to happen. Would like to see it. But right now we've got that big official visit coming up, Dave.
Yeah, baby. You know somebody who's not shy about offering?
Yeah.
Ken Norton Jr., baby.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
You like that? Was that good?
No, it kind of just wasn't natural. It wasn't like it was earlier when it was just, it was... You know, just so much more organic. This wow. This was forced.
Wow. I'm going to take that to heart, I think. So UCLA football.
But wait, I wasn't ready. See, that's the other thing. We have to fill in. So there is going to be a good and basketball recruiting. We're still on because Dave, like, little premature in his transition. A lot. They are going to be looking at the transfer portal. Now, from Mick Cronin's standpoint, they've had a lot of transfers showing interest in them over the last two off seasons. They're probably licking their chops to get involved in the transfer portal. And you would think, Dave, when there are going to be at least a couple, if not more, transfers coming into UCLA as part of the 2023-2024 roster?
Yes, but it's got to be a lot better than it was this cycle. Like, there weren't that many good transfers this cycle.
Yeah.
So I think that's a concern, is that there really wasn't that much in there. I mean, they're going to have to be a little bit more active, and they're probably going to have to take at least the one or two. But I think you balance this class by getting a, you know, one or two one and done types, one or two transfers, and the rest freshmen, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, you can tell UCLA is looking towards the transfer portal because They have not offered a lot of 2023 high schoolers. Well, they have offered a decent number, but the ones that they're still recruiting that they have a chance to get, there just aren't that many. So it's gonna be a whole new world with UCLA basketball recruiting really going deep into that transfer portal next offseason. Okay, Dave, do
Wow.
it. Do it.
No, now I got nothing. You know who's not recruiting the transfer portal right now? Ken Norton Jr. I don't know.
Was excellent. I love
Yeah.
that one.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Anyway, football, so there's the spring practice thing that ended. Again, we've just, I mean, there's nothing else. This thing's been juiced, you know? All right. So, we're just a husk. It's a rind at this point. But
That
football
was me beating.
recruiting,
I was beating the horse.
yeah, I appreciate that. Football recruiting. So it seems like, okay, so my impression is this.
Okay.
UCLA football recruiting is going about the same as it usually does this time of year, in terms of the high school stuff, maybe even a little slower in some
I
ways.
would not say that. I would say it's a lot slower, but keep going.
Okay, maybe even a little slower in some ways.
In some ways.
However,
However.
Ken Norton Jr. is coaching for a different staff and is recruiting as if he is at a school that doles out offers
He's the
like
man.
candy.
He's the man. I
He's
mean,
great.
I think he's been more active recruiting inside linebackers in a few months that he's been there than you know what? It'd be a really good number. How many inside linebackers did UCLA offer and really seriously recruit in Chip Kelly's first 4 years when Pelham was the inside linebacker coach? I think our guy Ken Norton is taking it to a completely different level here. And I what I'm picturing is they're having that meeting. They're all the coaches are all sitting around, a big old table. So many are used to the whole long process, and then Ken Norton goes, "Oh yeah, by the way, I'm offering these four guys." And Chip goes, "Okay."
Oh, okay, Ken. That sounds fine.
Whatever you think, Ken.
Yeah, but and these are good dudes. We looked at Ty Lee, Jerry Mixon, like they're whatever. What are they? Three stars?
They are three stars.
They're both good.
I've watched a lot of film now. Well, not a lot. I've watched film. I like them. And as a talent evaluator who likes upside, who likes projecting, they project. Ty Lee is 6'3", 200 pounds, and he has long, long arms, and he is used at St. John Bosco as a safety, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, defensive end, striker.
What's that?
I don't know. I just threw that out. I have no idea what if that was ever a position
I've
ever.
never heard of that, Tracy.
No, I don't
Can
know what that
you
means. What does that
break down
mean?
that position for me?
Really like him. He's got a body he could put on weight. Go watch some of his film, people. You'll really like him, and he's a three star. So I like that offer a lot. There are guys out there, UCLA fans. There are bros out there saying, "Is this going to be a whole three star?" You can't just go by three star. I mean, I like Ty Lee better than some guys who are four stars right now. So, and Jerry Mixon is a real middle linebacker. I mean, 6'1" to 6'2". He's probably 210 pounds right now, but he'll end up 225. He's a true middle linebacker. So, and I like him. Very instinctual, big hitter. So those are we're talking about those two guys because UCLA has offered them. And there is that little thing called the crystal ball. There are some UCLA crystal balls for them. That's the time you're not usually able to make that plural, but I finally had my moment of saying crystal balls.
You've got crystal balls.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. It's funny that you know that.
Oh boy. Yeah. So Ken Norton Jr. Doing the work. We wanted to touch on one thing from spring ball that was pretty obvious going into spring ball, then became more obvious throughout spring ball, and now looks like one of the deeper WTFs of the entire offseason, which was offensive tackle. Look, we're not. Are you a genius? I'm not.
No, we're not. We are so far away.
We're just dummies. But
I mean, what? All right, we've got solid IQs. We're probably in the high 120s, maybe 130-ish.
Sure, right? Whatever.
Let's just say that. But we're not geniuses.
But here's the thing. So going into this spring period, we were even thinking they had Thomas Cole and Patrick Celna somewhere still within the practice sphere. And we were still saying offensive tackle. That's going to be an issue. Even with Raekwon O'Neal coming in, that's going to be a potential issue. Because you've got Garrett DiGiorgio, who played in literally two games last year, and then nobody else who's played real football. And then spring practice happened, and it became more obvious because not only did they only have a guy who's played two games and nobody else who's played, but you also didn't have Thomas Cole and Patrick Celna, which they must have known.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the big issue. We didn't know. I'm pointing at you and me right now. We didn't know. And we were banging that drum for at least two offensive tackle transfers. They knew. I don't think they showed up at practice, that first practice, and they looked around and go, hey.
Oh, wow. Where'd those guys go?
Aren't we two big guys? Where are they not? What happened? Could you put out like a search party? They knew. But they still only were looking to recruit one.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a bad evaluation of their own existing guys or.
Yes. That's what it is.
Okay.
So they've got Raekwon O'Neal coming in, and the hope is that he's going to be able to lock down the left side. We'll see. I mean, that's the hope.
They would have had a commitment from Andre Harris, who also officially visited that same weekend, transfer tackle,
yeah,
who wanted to commit, and they essentially didn't take his commitment.
And they've got Jalen Jeffers coming in, who wasn't able to impress Adrian Clem enough to stick around at Oregon.
So, I mean, it was three spring. This is a pretty strong indication of what that situation was. And we're not backing, we're not saying anything. It's just three spring. Adrian Clem comes in as the new offensive line coach at Oregon. Getting to know his guys, they go out to spring practice. I think there was three spring practices. Jalen Jeffers puts his name in the transfer portal.
I can tell you, I mean, I could tell you probably with some colorful language exactly what happened in those practices.
Could you imagine what Adrian Clem, we know Adrian Clem as, because he used to be UCLA's offensive line coach, so we know him well.
Do you remember when Jim Morris screamed Anthony Thompson off the field and he never returned to UCLA
again? That poor kid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happened.
Adrian Clem did those things too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's easy to see what happened there. We'll see.
And maybe that's he might develop
into a player. Who knows? But not probably counted on for this year. This was just an own goal. They didn't need to score it on themselves, and they did, because they could have taken another offensive tackle who actually had playing potential this year, because that person doesn't necessarily need to be a big-time starter, although they probably do need a starter-level tackle. Garrett DiGiorgio, I think, will look better at right tackle than he looked at left tackle this spring, but they needed a guy. They needed a two-deep guy, and they didn't get that.
So. Yeah, this is, I mean, over the course of Chip Kelly being at UCLA, it's been a lot of head scratching over recruiting, and this is another one.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing.
I mean, they moved a super senior defensive tackle to offensive tackle because they clearly perceived they were down bodies there, which is a strong indication that they knew about Celna and Cole. I mean,
and it's not as if defensive tackle's like a complete lock for being good this year. We still don't really know.
Right. I think we have to say, though, the deadline for the transfer portal to submit your name has come and gone. We have not seen Thomas Cole or Patrick Selna's name in the transfer portal. There's even a lag, a little bit of a lag, like it was Sunday, the deadline, but you might not have seen it appear in the transfer portal until Wednesday or Thursday, but we are in Friday, I think. I don't know when we're doing this podcast and when it's going to run. But right now, I'm confessing, this is Friday morning. So, haven't seen their names. I think it's possibly a good assumption, Dave, that they're still with the program. And the big one is really Tom. I'm nothing against Patrick Selna. I thought when I saw him in high school, he'd be a good, solid guy that might be able to get some playing time. Thomas Cole, I thought, would be a future starter. So losing Thomas Cole would probably be a blow. If you go by his, someone on the board put this up, if you go by his social media, he just recently got a tattoo in Venice. So he's in the area still, because he's not from the area. You'd have to think they're still with the program. Wouldn't you assume?
I mean, if they haven't transferred out, yeah. And that, you know, I don't want to speculate, but there's a lot of reasons guys can miss spring practice. We've seen it many times over the years.
Yeah.
Often it has to do with, various things you didn't take care of at college.
Things that you're supposed to do in college.
Yeah.
Let's just say that, because, you know, we don't want to speculate about that.
No.
So things you're supposed to do in college.
Correct.
I'd say UCLA has shown a little bit of interest in a transfer offensive line, and I haven't checked this morning to see if, like, he's committed someplace, but it's kid from Montana State, TJ Session. They've started to look into his viability as a transfer. If he could, you know, you wouldn't believe how many transfers out there don't have good grades. It's pretty phenomenal how many don't have grades. So, I'm not saying he doesn't, I have no idea, but that's part of the process. But lately I haven't heard about any others, and that's a little bit worrisome because, as I said, the deadline for putting your name into the transfer portal is over. So I don't know if there's too many other possibilities of adding to that offensive line depth. I mean, unless they go looking at their own defensive line depth chart again. It would be the third time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what they're feeling. But I mean, if they get Selna and Cole back, you plug in Jeffers, they've got some depth there, but you wouldn't say...
It's a downgrade from last year.
Wouldn't say there's anyone that's going to really help the offensive line this year.
No.
Besides Raekwon O'Neal, who we clearly think is going to start at left tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you could squint and maybe see a decent pair of starters in O'Neal, and then you're hoping that DeGiorgio looks a lot better at right tackle than he looked at left. But it's not great. I mean, it's certainly a big step back from Sean Ryan and Alec Anderson.
A big step back. I think it's reasonable to expect that Raekwon O'Neal will be good at left tackle. DeGiorgio showed potential last year at right tackle, so let's say he's solid. The interior guys looked pretty good in spring. I liked what I saw from John Gaines and Antonio Mafi. So that will be good. You know, he had Paul Gratton, who was good last year on the interior. And at center, you know, about the same with Duke Clemens. Sam Araza, who knows if he comes back. But you'd have to say, in a good case scenario, at tackle, there's going to be a bit of a drop-off from Sean Ryan and Alec Anderson.
Yep.
But is that drop-off enough to really sabotage what they want to do offensively?
No, because they're playing like, I think a couple of local church teams. I think there's one of the Polytechnic high schools. I think they're on the schedule for this year, right?
It would not surprise me if you just use the the out of conference schedule from 1924. God, we can be really, really mean trying to be funny. I just realized that about us right now. One other point about transfer. We've hit that threshold where everyone was wondering when UCLA is now emphasizing the transfer portal more than high school. It is now. They are bringing in 12. I mean, there's no other way to think about it because you went past the number. There are 12 transfers coming in while there are only 11 2022 high school prospects coming into UCLA. So, yeah, you can expect more of that going forward with Chip Kelly as your coach and maybe with any other head coach at UCLA because, man, coaches are drawn to that transfer portal the way it is. It's so much easier, less time consuming. And UCLA is an attraction for transfer portal guys. So,
They at even one of the easiest schools to recruit in college football, they still like to make it easier.
yes. So, there's that with football. One last thing I want to touch on, which I know you will have an opinion on, and you have had an opinion. I've heard, and there's been this little smattering of articles, one on Sports Illustrated, which is pretty good, about the NCAA is now going to enact some more from stricter rules and about NIL.
I mean, it's basically them trying to commit suicide as an organization.
I mean, oh my gosh. The NCAA has mishandled, misconceived so many things, but wow. I don't know if you could have done it worse. Like you screwed up with some really bad rules and guidelines before. Everyone took advantage of it, whether you intended that or you didn't. I mean, that was just a big, big swing and a miss. But now you say you're going to go back. We have to look at this again. And we are going to go after all of those programs that have NIL collectives that are essentially pay to play for recruiting. That's just not right, Dave.
Can't do
How
that.
can they do that? How is that possible? I mean, you've got the guy at Tennessee with
No,
wallet
that's
guy,
Miami. Miami.
Miami, sorry. And you've got I mean, you've got guys who, was it the Miami guy who tweeted out he signed someone?
No, I mean, there's the cat's out of the bag. Just let it go at this point because, you're not going to put this genie back in the bottle. Any attempt to do so is just going to further invalidate you as an organization. Put some actual governing rules in place that might protect competitive balance if you can. But this putting onerous demands on, oh yeah, these guys can't get paid and they can't get enticed. Okay. Why don't you just see if you can work with the different leagues to set some sort of salary cap if that's what you want to do? Try to mirror some pro organizations to whatever extent is possible now. But honestly, I like it as it is. Because here's the thing, it's going to settle at some point. Because that John Ruiz idiot for Miami, he's going to shell out. What is he already on the hook for, based on what he's reported? Like several $1 million for just the
Millions.
friggin' basketball
I think
team?
was it 10 million?
It's a lot of money. When he realizes, like, this is fun for him right now, and it's just fun money. But these guys are all greedy crooks. When he realizes that there's absolutely no increased ROI for him, absolutely none, because first, evaluating high school prospects and then even college transfer prospects and projecting them to be winning teams is not entirely a crapshoot, but it's close. And you're paying a lot of money to do it. And you're not getting any revenue from it. You're not making any money. All you're doing is doing it for the enjoyment of it, for the ego boost, for, the simple, gladdening of your heart that it takes to see a team win. Well, when you realize that you're not actually getting any additional return from it, You're already a booster. You already have all that access. You're not getting anything else.
Well, wait.
They're not going to continue to pay this money. They're not.
Yeah. This is the typical life cycle of these kind of boosters. And I've seen them before. They're the stable boosters that pay their money, they get their access. They're fine. But these like flash in the pan kind of guys that are looking, this is generally what happens. They pay a lot of money. They start demanding more access. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy's looking for a seat on the bench.
Yeah, he probably wants to be the coach.
He wants to go into probably, you know, team meetings and have a seat. I mean, he wants the money that he has put out. He wants to buy more access. First, second, the program eventually is going to have to say, this guy's not worth this money. This is a nightmare what he's doing. We can't do this. And he's going to keep pushing the envelope of violations, whatever rules are in place. And eventually the program is going to be having to get rid of him somehow. But more than likely, he's going to lose interest because his $10 million or whatever it is, it's not proportional to what he got out of it. He was just a little light in the sky that burned for a little bit and then he burned out.
Yeah.
It's just
a toy for him to play with for a little bit and then he's going to get bored.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for a lot of these things that are happening. It's the initial burst and, oh, this is going to have an impact and then it doesn't. And then, suddenly Miami isn't that great at football still or basketball.
Right.
It's that whole sort of thing. And I think you're going to see all of this stabilize. What I do like to see is the wage transparency, though. It's great that guy's posting all that stupid stuff because then all these players are saying, wait, that guy's getting this and I'm only getting this. I need to get more. And I think how this is going to work out is it's actually going to be very fair and balanced. You're going to see teams that just kind of have a pool of money that gets doled out evenly to the squad. And I think that's going to be the nature of it at a lot of schools. And I think that's the way it makes most sense. And I think that's the way it's fair and equitable and nobody is actually transferring to negotiate better deals.
I mean, think it's Isaiah Wong, right? The kid at Miami. Was he any good?
I think he was, yeah.
But not, I mean,
not like one of the best players in college basketball, but he's pretty good.
Right. So, just think about how this could happen. Let's say Miami starts recruiting, like, or they have other players that are better than him that end up being better, or they're recruiting guys who have the potential to be better than Isaiah Wong. Wouldn't they naturally say, well, I want more than Isaiah Wong? So what does Miami do?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could
tough
get
situation.
It could get really crazy. And I know it's frustrating for UCLA fans right now because they see other programs. And I get it. And UCLA does really need to step up with its NIL. And as I said, I think basketball is on track and it has done it and is doing it. Football, maybe a little tougher go there. I don't think it has a real as solid of an NIL collective as basketball has organized. But and like, what kind of time frame, Dave? When does this shake out, do you think? Oh, and wait, one other thing to mention. We're hearing the NCAA is, if there isn't anything more tragic that you could say about the NCAA, they're reaching out to Congress for some help. My God. Are there two organizations, and I'm not going to get political, but I think anyone on any side of any political
we all are universal in our agreement that Congress is not working.
Is dysfunctional, yes. and ineffective. One reaching out to the, I couldn't come up with any kind of metaphor.
That's beautiful.
I mean, that would be the metaphor. Right. Yeah. In another situation, I'd say, oh, that's as bad as the NCAA reaching out to Congress. Laugh, laugh, laugh.
Laugh, laugh, laugh.
That's what's happening because there's every state has different NIL
Yep.
rules. California's actually got some good rules, so some good laws on the books. But what kind of time frame for you, Dave? Where, how does this evolve, and where are we?
I think it'll be pretty quick. I mean, so first the NCAA rules or whatever, they're not going to have any impact whatsoever because they'd have to punish everyone. And that's just not going to make any sense. I think it'll all settle out into something, I think the way it'll work out is every school's going to have its like salary, right? Like what you can make going to a particular school. That's like just kind of set. And then you can make whatever you want to make in terms of the NIL, like the actual true NIL, based on your individual accolades and what relationships you build and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's going to work out the way recruiting has always worked out, which is, all things being equal, guys don't want to move, so they're not going to transfer too easily. And if you're not dysfunctional, if your program isn't dysfunctional, you're not going to lose that many guys to transfer. And I think in recruiting, it's going to work out the way it has always worked out, which is prioritize your region, because those are the guys who are likely to come because they want to stay home. And then, yeah, there's going to be some money deals, like there always have been, that pull some guys away, except now they're going to be above board. As there always have been, there's also going to be money deals to keep guys home, at different schools. I mean, it's not as if, UCLA is very clean as far as college football standards, but it's not, not like they've never made a deal to get a guy.
What? Dave, are you breaking news right here? Dave.
It's not like they've ever, forced admissions to look the other way to get a 2.0 student into school. Like, it's not like these things have never happened.
Oh, I see what you did there.
There's a lot of things that have happened. I think it'll shake out, and I think it's going to end up in a similar situation where the SEC is going to get the preponderance of, recruits in their area, and they're going to be able to pick some guys out of the West. But for the most part, recruiting will stabilize the way it always has, because I think the money will even out to where it about is. The Pac-12 is a less rich conference than SEC and Big Ten, and I think that's true at the school level and the booster level and all that kind of stuff. So there's less institutional investment in it, but I think it's balanced across the board. So anyway,
And
I think
I
you're.
think you can safely, for all those out there that were worried, I think we can safely say that UCLA, if there are investigations of some of the programs that went a little overboard here during this little transitional period, UCLA is not going to get
Yeah,
investigated by
UCLA
the
will be safe.
NCAA. So there you go.
All right. Well, I think that's an hour and 20 minutes, Tracy.
Dang.
So we should probably give these people a break.
Yes, right now.
All right. For Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Brewing Report Online, and we'll talk to you again next time.
See you guys.